gosh, it hasn't been long, but it...
It feels like a little bit, a lot has gone on. I feel like that's the whole story now, though.
I mean, only with you, ever.
You know, we just have a lot of fun.
I mean, dang. It's like you don't get out of the house, and when you do, you
I didn't even. I wasn't even out of the house, technically.
You, like, literally grabbed a pizza and hurt yourself.
Oh, yeah. No. It was fine. No, actually, what happened was we were having people over for a game night.
As you literally do always.
Yeah. And the pizza got there, and mm-hmm. I was like, I'll go outside and get the pizza. So, yeah, like, I walked out the front stairs. And got down my, you know, down my patio area. And then, like, literally from my house to the street, there is one tiny, like, 1-inch step. And I missed it. And I went down. And when I went down, I had my arm locked. And I just heard crunching.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And, yeah. It was no fun. And then we got to do what we always said we would and go to the emergency room directly across the street from our house.
God, I'm so thankful.
But it was funny because Kevin brought the pizza over to the ER and was like, I feel kind of bad eating this. And I was like, you better fucking eat it. I sacrificed myself.
That was my very first question to you. Right. Remember? I was like, but did you get any pizza?
I was like, yeah, in the ER while we were waiting to go in.
At least one piece.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
One piece was good. Michael and I will both be in the same line at the airports from now on.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, tables have turned. He has to take care of me now.
Well, listen, when you guys said, let's, to, you know, in sickness and in health,
we fucking meant it, and we meant it right
early,
now.
Y'all are like, you're in it to win it.
But good news is Michael's walking now, so that's amazing.
He answered the door, and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, and that's the thing is
he is so excited.
So excited. The doctor told him, like, use the walker a little bit while you're walking, and then move to a cane. And
he's very excited about the cane.
Oh, the therapist today, he went to occupational therapy or is a physical therapist today. And she said, forget the walker, just use the cane. And when I see you next week, I'll probably tell you to forget the cane. Cause he's so,
first of all, you know, he's not going to forget the cane ever.
He's going to be like, I walk.
He's
with
like,
this
I'm listen, I'm going to walk with this cane forever.
Right. Along the, oh guys, by the way, this is Revolution Roses.
Oh my, how long have we been talking?
5 minutes. Okay. Hey guys, welcome to Revolution Rosies. If you can't tell by the ridiculous story of broken bones, I'm Betty LaRue.
Betty LaRue is the broken one. Vivian Vega's the super boring one. But, you know, we do have a new album out.
Yeah, ECC got a new album out, which is freaking awesome.
So
yeah,
sweet.
Congratulations. And you're getting a ton of recognition for it, which is
so
awesome.
So much.
And the pictures from your guys' like opening show was just amazing.
Oh, it was so fun.
Oh, yeah.
It was so fun.
They looked so great.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And Badass Babe took the pictures, by the way. Catherine Lindsay Photography.
Yeah.
She did an amazing job.
She does such great pictures.
Yeah.
Because she takes pictures of your band a lot.
That was only her second time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But they were so great the first time that we were like, we have to have her for our CD release.
Yeah, they're really great. Yeah. That's really great.
Yeah.
Well, Revolution Rosies, I'm actually putting together a show for November called Strip Down to Vote. It's a burlesque show where you can go and sign up to vote.
I can't wait.
I'm very excited. And
what do we have to do with that show, though, huh?
I'm having Revolution Rosies host the show.
Woo!
Yeah! So it'll be really exciting. We're, you know, we're going to probably talk a lot about the suffragettes and that sort of thing.
Can't wait.
I'm so excited. And then we're going to host the show itself. Vivian, if you would like, you are more than welcome to perform as well.
We'll see.
Yeah. I will not be performing because at that point I will be 5 months pregnant.
Nuh-uh. What?
Yeah.
Shut your fucking mouth. Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Shut up. Are you allowed to take those pills with the baby in there?
Yeah, so the thing is that
oh my
I
God.
Can't take ibuprofen.
Holy shit.
So, like, we hadn't told Michael's mother yet. We're still living with my mother-in-law. And so when I broke my arm, we were just, I was just taking Tylenol. Oh. I couldn't take anything else. And I couldn't take ibuprofen. And like Marilyn, bless her heart, was like so upset because she saw how much pain I was in. And she's like, why can't you just take, like, ibuprofen would be so much better. Why can't you just take it? And we're just like, it's fine. I just can't take it. So,
Oh my God. Holy shit. Congratulations. I'm so angry and happy at the same time.
So it's why we couldn't come to your release party, because I wanted to come to the release party, but I've been so fucking sick.
Oh my God. I'm so happy for you. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh my God. That's what you wanted to tell me.
Yeah.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy.
And it's so funny. We'll get into it later in the show, but there was somebody that was really wanting me to tell you because the first person they wanted to talk to about it was you. And I'll get into it later in the show, but.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm so happy.
We're due in March.
Oh my God. That's your birthday month.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So, because, and this was really cute, my OBGYN, she kept, like, rolling her eyes. She's like, because you'll be 35 when the baby is born, it's best that you get these blood tests, but you can find out the gender of the baby. So, we could have done it this week, but I was really sick of being poked and prodded. So I didn't really want to go and do any blood tests because the last time we did blood tests for the baby, I almost passed out because apparently I don't do well with needles.
Me either.
No. Yeah. So, but we're, you know, we'll do all of that, but we're very excited.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so happy. Oh, I'm so happy. Oh my God. I don't even want to do this anymore. Forget about this.
I specifically saved it for the podcast for you.
Oh my God.
Because I wanted your reaction recorded.
Holy shit.
Everyone else pretty much got a, you want to see my x-ray for my broken arm? To which most people that you know that we know would say, duh.
Yeah.
And then I sent them my sonogram instead.
Oh.
But I had already sent you my broken arm. Yeah. So I was like, I'm specifically saving this for the podcast.
Oh, my God. Well, I want to see the sonogram, too.
Yeah, you're going to see the sonogram. I got to find it. It's upstairs.
Well, we get to post that, too.
Yeah. If you want it. Well, yes, we can post it.
Only if you want it.
No.
But we can do it later.
I think we can.
I mean, if it's going to be on the fucking podcast anyways.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So, yeah. But, yeah. So, that's what's been going on in our lives.
Oh, my. So much.
So much.
Holy shit. Holy shit. Y'all?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I have so many goosebumps, and I can't stop eating this popcorn.
It's good
popcorn. I don't know what I'm doing. No, you need it all now. Oh, my God. Yeah.
The popcorn is specifically because I've been so sick.
Uh-huh. But like, you just requested Chinese gross.
No, it sounds good. Like, no. It's been, it's been awful, though. Like, I...
Oh my gosh.
Haven't been able to drink coffee because it's
and I come just... in here with fucking coffee.
No, it's what fine. No, it's perfectly fine. Like I don't mind. Like, but like just the smell of it or the idea of drinking it, I'm like, no, thank you. I got to my doctor, which I really do need to call my OBGYN. Shoot, because she's been worried about me since the surgery. But I was at my doctor's and she was like, so how's the morning sickness going? And I was like, I thought that it had been slowing down because we went to a wedding this past weekend where we did archery, which both Mike and I are badasses at archery.
I'm sorry.
It was before I broke my arm.
Okay, well, that wasn't even a concern, but what wedding has archery?
Okay, so our friends got married. It was a fucking awesome wedding. I mean, I've actually talked about her on the podcast. My friend Lauren,
does the animal.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're
congrats,
in Michigan.
Lauren.
Yeah, so they're in Michigan now, and they had the most fun wedding. They rented out a YMCA summer camp.
Whoa.
So we all stayed in like kids' cabins, you know, with the bunk beds
and
stuff.
Cool.
And like so we stayed Friday night and then the morning we got up and there was like breakfast. It was like yogurt and peaches, which I'd been craving peaches ever since. So I've just been
Is that why there's a fuck ton of peaches up there?
Yeah. And there's also yogurt and stuff. And then we got up and then we went swimming because they have like the lake and we went Yeah, canoeing. So Mike and I were canoeing. Oh. And then, because they had activities.
Good. I'm glad you had all of that fun time before your arm became
this. It was like the
this.
Summertime that we needed because we really hadn't been able to do it. And then we were able to do like archery. Which, yeah, Mike and I are both badasses at archery. I'm really hoping that this injury doesn't fuck up my chances at the Olympic because I want to be like Gina Davis, who was almost in the Olympics for archery.
The Gina Davis?
Yes. I fucking love her. I'll probably do her one day. She's amazing.
Have you watched Glow?
Yeah.
The new season? No,
I haven't watched Glow this season because I broke my fucking arm and I can't do it
this
right yet.
The time to watch it. what?
I just remember because all my pregnant brain keeps saying when I go to like watch Glow is like, remember when she broke her arm? Remember in the first season when she broke her arm? And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Just don't watch the first season. Watch the third season.
But I do
need broken
to watch,
arms.
I need to watch the third season because I love
Gina
Glow.
Is in it.
Gina Davis voices in She-Ra.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about this. Hey, can you pause this? Because I want to go give him a hug.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry.
I'm coming up the stairs and he's like...
he's like, we heard it.
It's like, oh my God, we're that loud.
We're like in a closed off room in the basement loud.
I know. So.
We've excelled
to
that level. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah,
no,
okay.
It's okay. But no, Gina Davis is in the new She-Ra, and I love fucking She-Ra. And it's like... She was very on brand for us because it's all about...
I have literally never.
So I didn't when I was little.
Yeah.
Because I think I was too young.
Mm-hmm.
But I started watching the new one. It's super simple to binge.
I've heard Truly Scrumptious has recommended.
Yes. Yeah, and she actually told me... It was funny when I was asking for TV shows to watch. She's like, watch this one. I was like, actually, already on it.
Did you watch my recommendation?
Yes, we started watching that and I like... The whole first episode, I'm like, this guy's a fucking jackass, but I still want his castle built.
Oh, you watched that.
We
watched the new season?
We haven't gotten to the second episode there, but we just started it where Netflix started it, which I think was like episode like.
So the very first season,
mm-hmm.
The very first episode of the first season, they do an old movie theater.
Oh, that sounds
and
good.
And they turn it into a house. But yeah,
Grand Designs, is that what that is?
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, the first one, yeah, the guy sucks, but the castle.
I wanted to see it come to fruition because it's a really cool castle.
But he's like, I don't want fat people.
Yeah.
I know.
He's the worst.
Because at first I was like, yeah, this guy's sweetie bought a castle. And then he said that and I was like, not lost.
No,
me.
The whole thing. I was like, he's a douchebag.
Yeah.
But
sorry.
No, it's
woo, cool. We got off. Woo!
We got way off subject. Anyway.
But you're pregnant! Who cares?
So
you have pregnancy brain. I have seizure brain. We're fine.
We're gonna be so much fun. by the way, so Becky told Garrison, and this is how this conversation went. So my older sister told my nephew, and the conversation went like this: Garrison, Aunt Lizzie's pregnant. Do you know what that means? And he said, she's gonna have a baby. And Becky said, yeah, you're gonna have a new cousin. And he goes, you mean a new friend?
Oh.
Shut up. Isn't that the fucking cutest thing you've ever heard?
Shut him downstairs. That's enough.
It's so cute. And then he was like, I want to have a little girl. And she can name her JoJo.
Why?
But then if we have a little boy, it's gonna be taco sauce. I don't know.
All right, well, that's
so,
what he says.
So,
JoJo or taco sauce.
JoJo or taco sauce. That's what Garrison says. I do think it's cute that he wants a little girl. I think it's because he wants to be the only cute boy in the family.
Oh, that makes sense.
So, that's our big news for right now.
Holy crap.
Things
How
are
am I supposed to post about this?
Things are going to be changing a lot. But we're super excited. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's very exciting.
That is so exciting. What am I How am I? What? Oh, well, that cures my baby fever.
Right.
I've been having it, and now you're having it.
I'm having
You're
baby.
Having it.
I'm having a baby.
Oh, my God, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Oh, I cannot.
We're super excited.
Oh, my God. What did Cherie do? Did she lose
cried.
Her shit?
She cried and cried and cried. And then I sent her the sonogram, and then she cried. Oh, and by the way, you're the last of the bridesmaids that didn't know. So you guys can talk about it in the group now.
Bitch.
Well, like I said, I was saving it for our recording. And we were supposed to record last week.
Right.
But I broke my fucking arm.
Broke your arm.
Yeah. So I was planning on recording last, Thursday or whenever I was going to. And then I was going to tell you then. Because that's right. Would have been right after the sonogram. But I couldn't because I broke my fucking arm. So that was fun. life is just wild.
Okay, I'm so glad you're going first because I can't focus.
Yeah, I was like, it's probably better that I'm going first.
Oh my God, and you did bullet points.
I did do bullet points. I did so I wouldn't lose my spot.
You have no choice now because you're really, definitely going to
I'm going to lose my spot all the time. And it's two-sided, so it's really long.
Oh my God, mine is so short.
Women in the news. And this is just a quick blurb because I couldn't decide what I wanted to do today. And I've been super cryy and weepy lately.
Why?
Couldn't imagine why. So everything makes me cry. Yeah, probably. but yeah, everything makes me cry. So everything I read was like, woohoo. But I wanted something a little bit brighter, but it's still kind of. So like, I'm all Team Kesha. And you know that, you know, Kesha had that huge battle trying to, like, win the rights to her own fucking music because she'd been
with Dr. Josh. What's
his name? I don't know his fucking name. Douchebag asshole. And so.
That's it.
Yeah. But, and, like, losing the rights to your own music and your own career because some asshole, it's just all bullshit. Mm-hmm. It makes me so angry. So, anyways, I'm not a fan of Taylor Swift at all. And I bet she. Kesha doesn't really sign up for her music. But Taylor Swift had reported years ago a local like DJ that she had taken a picture with reached up her skirt and grabbed her ass while they were taking a picture. And she reported it to her mother and her like radio manager. And they reported it to the station and the station fired the guy. And then the guy tried to fucking sue Taylor Swift for $1 million for getting him fired. And Taylor Swift countersued him for $1, which I fucking love.
$1.
Yeah. I do love that she was like, it's not the money. I don't want you for the money. I'm going to countersue you because it's fucking bullshit. Because, of course, the guy that's going to reach up your skirt and grab your ass is also going to fucking try to sue you for getting him fired.
Right.
And so, like, this, that whole thing's been going on. And Kesha, like, tweeted and was like, you know, I stand behind you 100%. And the reason that I wanted to bring that up is because, like, I don't subscribe to Taylor Swift all the time. I do know that she's been making some strides in places that, like, I can get behind.
Sure.
But, like, I just can't imagine how fucking bad it is in the music industry for female artists, especially ones that start off as teenagers.
Yeah.
And I do love to see, like, two people that are as different and as, like standing up for each other because you have to believe each other. Mm-hmm. And so that made me really happy.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, sadly, and that's not totally not my type of news that I would normally report because it's a tweet from celebrities, which is not really that thing. Right. But, like, again, I've been super weepy lately, but I'm also, like, yeah, you have to support each other.
Sure.
And you have to, like, believe the women. And everyone's been talking about Fuckface killing himself in prison and, like, how are they going to, you know, pursue his case? And it's like, how about you just believe the women?
Right.
The hundreds of fucking women. Why don't you just believe it? Because the case is right there.
Right. Well, I don't know. Maybe just
believe
black
the women.
And white
yeah.
writing on the wall. I don't
so,
know.
So, and I think it's so important that, you know, even women as different as Kesha and Taylor Swift standing up for each other, because Taylor Swift donated like $250,000 to.
Thought
Kesha's.
You were just gonna end it at 25. She donated $25.
No, she donated like I think it was like $250,000 to Kesha's like legal fees.
Oh my!
So it's really kind of cool.
Yeah,
like it's one of those things where it's like you have to support each other because they're always going to.
Otherwise, who's going
to
do it?
Yeah. They're going to always come back and sue you and say, you forced me to lose my job even though I did something to you. So that made me happy and it made me weepy because I'm very cryy.
It's like, you know, it's like people, a sisterhood. You
yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
Of the traveling pants.
Of the traveling pants.
Of the traveling.
Variety.
Rapists.
Right. But that's the thing, though. They're brothers. They're all brothers and rapists.
Oh, yeah.
They're all brothers in arms when it comes to that kind of thing. They stand
touchy,
up for each other.
Feely.
Mm-hmm. And they're all going to stand up for each other, and they're all going to have lawyers that.
I just saw it.
That
funny
say things like,
just,
"Well,
just,
what was he supposed to do? She passed out." Like
I just saw
like
somebody, one of the Epstein victims say Prince Edward, is he the one that knows Epstein?
Ooh, I'm not sure. I didn't hear about this one yet.
Yeah, Prince Edward, I think, is one of the ones that, like, hung around Epstein. Mm-hmm. Anyways, he's trying to deny that he ever knew him or whatever, and one of the victims was like, oh, he knows exactly what he did, and is like, No. I don't care that he's a royal person.
No, take everyone down.
Yeah.
Take everyone down. If it means...
It's funny you say that it's like a tweet thing that you wouldn't typically, but it's like, no.
Listen to the victims. You need to. You know what I mean? You need to listen to the victims and you need to stand behind them. Right. And every little bit of support is a brick that they can use to build up their wall and build up their defense on this mm-hmm. kind of thing. So mm-hmm. it's just really important to believe in each other and stand up for each other. So, and that's mine for today.
Yeah. All right.
Anyways.
What is our topic for the month?
I'm excited about this one. It's
We're doing old ones.
We are doing some super old ones. We're
digging in the graves.
I'm very excited about this one.
Mine's even older than yours.
That's insane. This month's episode is called Walk Like a Man.
Walk Like a Man.
Because...
Oh, that's a song that can go on the playlist.
I thought that was a good one for it too. But... Because sometimes in history, to make a difference, you have to dress up like a man so people will take you seriously. Huh.
Especially in these times that we're talking about.
Especially in these times that we're talking about. But so today I'm going to be talking about Deborah Sampson.
That's such a now name.
But I do want to, I want to say that I have a honorable mention.
Oh.
There were... two women that I actually wanted to do, and they were a pair. I wanted to do Anne Bonny and Mary Read. Anne Bonny and Mary Read, who were gay pirates. Yes.
Together?
Yes. So they were on separate pirate ships and then revealed each other's like lust for each other and then both found out that they were women. And then ended up getting together and pirating.
So they thought that they were both men?
Yeah.
And then they fell in love with each other thinking they were both men?
Yeah.
So one thought that the other one was a man.
The other one was a man.
Oh, that's hot.
I know. So I really was thinking about doing that one, but I didn't know how many accurate things I could get about that because that's really old. And maybe if I'm feeling feisty one day, I'll go back and do that one. But
that's like a fan fiction. You should just write that.
It sounds like a fan fiction.
Yeah, just write that.
And that's another reason why I was worried that I would be able to get like accurate information about that one.
That's why I'm a little concerned about
that. So anyways, I am doing Deborah Sampson. Let's get into her story. So she was born on December 17th, 1760 in Plymouth, Massachusetts, near Plymouth, which is, that makes sense because she was born in Plymouth. I don't know why I wrote that twice. Sampson was one of seven children to Jonathan Sampson and Deborah Sampson. Inventive, yeah. So she was born in December, I think I read one place that was the 27th. Here I have the 17th. That could be a little confusing. Some things are a little confusing because I was getting different.
Oh, let me tell you. Because it's really old. You have more details already than I have, okay? So
so her father was lost at sea also in 1760. But it's
this is a Disney movie.
Yeah, but it's also believed that he instead just abandoned the family and started a new family elsewhere.
Those times, it's easy to do.
Yeah. Also, there's a chance that he was a murderer, but they don't know if that Jonathan Sampson Jr. was the same Jonathan Sampson Jr. So
again, in those times.
Who knows?
Literally, you could say I'm a doorknob salesman, and they're like, I believe you.
Sounds good. Sounds good. So her impoverished mother was left with no choice but to send the children into different households, and Deborah was placed with her maternal relative. But then when her mother died, she was sent to live with widow Mary Prince Thatcher, who was in her 80s.
Oy.
And taught Deborah how to read so that she could read her Bible passages. So it's 17. So she was probably, she was about 8 when this happened, when she was sent over to her.
To live with an 80-year-old?
Yeah, to live with an 80-year-old. But it's 1768, and she's learning how to read as a woman, which is great.
Sure.
So when the widow died, she was bound as an indentured servant to Deacon Benjamin Thomas, who was a farmer in Middleborough with a large family when she was only 10 years old.
Oy.
She's, like, sold into indentured servitude.
Cool.
She was treated really well by the family, but the farmer didn't believe in educating women. So she taught herself by using the boys' schoolwork. So his sons would bring
home schoolwork. She already knew how to read. That's half the battle.
Yeah. So she just, like, goes over their schoolwork and teaches herself all sorts of stuff. But also, while she was in this family, he taught her a lot of things that most women wouldn't know. She got some carpentry skills. She, you know, learned how to shoot a gun and, you know, do all of this stuff. So a lot of things that women weren't typically taught during that time. Of course, she was taught how to sew and that sort of thing. But because, you know, she was there to help the family, it was kind of like you have to teach her how to do these things so she can do those things.
She's like a floater.
Yeah, she's a floater. So she stayed with this family until she was 18 years old. And that's when her servitude was paid off. So from 10 to 18. And then she left the family.
And then she immediately had to get married and have babies. And
no. So she left the family and self-taught. She became a school teacher during the summers. And then she used her skills at weaving and light carpentry to get income in the winter. So she would stay with the families that hired her to teach their children and also do carpentry and weaving and stuff for them. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
She's
like a home ec teacher.
Kind of. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
she taught everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what home ec is. We just never got it.
Yeah.
Did you have home ec?
I did. But mainly cooking at that point. It should have been like check balance.
I was going to say that.
Stuff. Like that's the shit that they used to teach. But anyways.
Yeah.
So.
Sewing on buttons.
There's a lot of things that go into talk about the way that Deborah looked. And the only reason that it's important is because of what she goes on to do. So Deborah was between like 5'7 and 5'9. I've read both, that she was 5'9 and that she was also 5'7. At that time, women were about 5 foot. That
was the average height. Little.
And men, on average, were 5'6 to 5'8.
Damn, so she was tall. She was no matter what.
Super fucking tall. And then it talks that
how?
She wasn't petite. She wasn't, by any means, you can look at all of her pictures, she wasn't but she wasn't like this tiny, petite, fragile woman. She was strong.
Yeah.
Very strong. And she...
Was she, like, Norwegian?
Yeah.
Like,
I'm not sure. She was just... And she had very, like, plain features. She wasn't, by any means, unattractive, just plain. Very plain. So there's a drunk history about her that I watched as part of my research. And she's played by Evan Rachel Wood.
Oh, my God. Casey is in love with her.
So, and she's 5'7". She does like a good job of being like portraying her size and everything like that. But of course the actors around her are much taller than they used to be. And the drunk history, it does a good job of telling this tale, especially for, you know, being a drunk history, but it does get some, like, it does kind of fuzzy up the, full accounts of everything that happened. But it does a pretty good job. I would highly suggest it. If you guys don't know who Evan Rachel Wood is, she's in Westworld.
Yes.
Yes.
And Across the Universe, which is
And Across the Universe. I forgot about that. So in 1782, the Revolutionary War breaks out, and Deborah wants to fight. She wants to enlist. But women, of course, are not allowed to enlist in the Revolutionary War.
I remember this drunk history now.
So she sewed her own uniform. She bound her chest, and she joined an army unit in Middleborough, Massachusetts, under the name of Timothy Thayer. But then she failed to meet up with her company as scheduled. Come to find out that Samson had been recognized by a local resident at the same time she signed up for her enlistment.
Oy.
Yeah, so her deception was uncovered. She had to repay the portion of the bonus that she had not spent. For signing up, but she wasn't subject
to... 5 cents?
I've already spent a penny and a half.
Oh, no!
But she wasn't... Yeah, my pittance. But she was not, like, subject to any further punishment at this time. So she's like, fuck this, I'm gonna try again. So, she's not, you know, determined any less. She really wants to fight for the country. She wants to fight for freedom. So she takes her late brother's name, and then I said, and possibly just something she saw around the room, and she goes as Robert Shirtlip. I don't know if her, like, brother, when he was sent off to another family, they adopted him and he ended up with a shirtlift name. Or if she was just like, sure, I'm Robert, shirt lift. Got it.
Good name. It's like George Glass, like in the Brady Bunch movie.
I haven't seen that.
You've never seen the Brady
Bunch. Oh my God, we found out the other night that Mikey's mother had never seen Princess Bride. And we kept going, inconceivable.
How in the world?
I know, and his brothers and him, like, quote it all the time, because it's the most quote-worthy movie.
I don't understand.
I don't know. We forced her to watch it that night.
Good.
Anyways.
You're like, so, my child cannot be born into this.
Yeah, I cannot. I cannot. So, at West Point, New York, she was assigned to Captain George Webb's Company of Light Infantry.
Company of Light.
Yeah. That sounds very, like, dainty. Fuck no, it's not. So light infantry companies were elite troops, specially picked because they were taller and stronger than average.
Good, perfect, already, yeah. Already not great.
Yeah, their job was to provide rapid flank coverage for advancing regiments, as well as rear guard.
That just basically means that they are, like,
first in line.
Use their bodies as shields.
Well, yeah, and they're like, they go out and they scout the other troops and tell people, and they come back and do Anyways.
So, we're not drinking.
No, we're not drinking. And then they did, like, rear guard, which is, like, protecting the army as it retreats. So as they're running away, they're turning around and shooting. But she was, like, super fast, very strong, very big. And because she was part of this elite group, it was less likely they were going to find out she was a woman. Because what woman is going to be part of a group who is picked because of their size and their speed and their agility and their skill. So she's not only does she become a soldier, she becomes a badass soldier.
Right?
Yeah. She's like right up there on the front line. She's like, fucking badass. Yeah. So during her first battle, she received a head wound and 2 musket balls to the leg.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
She's like off to a great start.
Yeah. So she begs not to be seen by a doctor in fear of being discovered, but they, like, loaded her onto a horse and brought her in for treatment in spite of her protest.
Oh, good.
There she allowed the doctor to treat her head wound, and then she fucking snuck out. And she went out into the woods, and she removed one of the bullets with a pen knife. And used her sewing skills to sew herself back up.
I don't like it.
Because she's a badass. Pen knife. This little tiny thing. She removes a bullet. The other bullet was too deep for her to remove. And so it stayed with her until she died.
Which is the next day, I assume.
And her leg never, like, fully recovered. But she was able to serve undiscovered for another 17 months.
Jesus.
Yeah. And even gained...
How did she pee?
And even gained the nickname Molly because she had a lack of facial hair. So they called her a Molly. She's like, if you only knew. Right? Can you just imagine? Because I just imagine her walking around like, yeah, guys, what's up, dude? You know, like, drop it.
Yeah. Sounds good, guys.
Yeah, I am such a Molly.
I mollied up your wife last night.
Like, she's literally wrapping her tits down in front of them, and they still don't get it.
They don't get it.
Drawing nipples on her bandages.
Like. So, during the summer of 1783, she became ill with a fever that was striking down, like, many soldiers in Philadelphia. And she came down with this fever and, passed out, like, was incapacitated. So they brought her to Dr. Barnabas Binney.
That sounds exactly like a name of a doctor in those times.
Right. I actually like the name Barnaby.
I also do. Please, if that's a boy, name him Barnaby.
We've discussed Barnaby.
Nuh-uh.
We have.
Oh, my God. That's so cute.
So he removed her clothes to treat her and discovered that she was bound. Her chest was bound and was like, oh, is she wounded under here? And, like, cuts open.
And they're like, what are these?
So he doesn't reveal her. Aww. Yeah, he doesn't reveal her secret, and he enlists his wife and his daughter, where they, like, bring her to their home, and his wife and his daughters help, like, nurse her back to health.
Aww.
Yeah, so during during her time under his care, the Treaty of Paris was signed, and the war had officially ended. So by the time she was well again, the war was over. So she served until the end of the war. So when she was well, Dr. Benny asked her to deliver a letter to General Patterson, like her serving general. And she did, although she correctly feared it would reveal her secret. While she expected to be reprimanded for her actions, instead, General Patterson gave her an honorable discharge, words of advice, and enough money to get home. So it's not that many other women did this, but of course a couple of other women had tried to serve and that sort of thing. It happens in every war because women want to fucking serve too. Mm-hmm. Like, they want to serve their country. They, you know, anyways, and it would typically end in, like, jail time and, you know, the dumbest shit ever. Like, mm-hmm. we're trying to help and we get sent to jail for...
Yeah. It's like, you can probably use all the help you can get.
Yeah. Stepping beyond our bounds, doing a man's job. But instead, they gave her an honorable discharge. I mean,
shit, they won't even let gay people serve now. Right. Like they would let...
And trans people.
Right.
It's like, if they want to help, you should fucking let them help. Jesus Christ. It's the dumbest shit ever.
It's not like you're letting a fucking mop in. Like, right. Come on, you guys.
These are able-bodied human beings who want to serve their country. Right. And you're going, no, because you're a certain way.
It's like,
you can't join this boys' club. You can't sit with us.
I don't like your shirt.
So...
People are stupid.
They are. On April 7th in 1785, she married Benjamin Gannett from Sharon, and they had three children, Earl, Mary, and Patience.
Yeah. Which one of these names doesn't belong?
Right? Earl, Mary, Patience. So she went on to speak about her experience during the war and becoming one of the earliest female lecturers in the country. And she would even dress in, like, full military regalia and, like, show people how to load a gun and do all sorts of things. So she, like, made a living just impressing the fuck out of people, being a badass.
Cool.
So along with many soldiers of the war, she and her husband petitioned many times for her military pension. And military pension had never been requested by a woman, obviously, because they wouldn't let her fucking serve. But she got a dishonorable discharge. She's like, I deserve...
No, she got an honorable
discharge. Yeah, she got an... Thank you. She got an honorable discharge, and she was like, I deserve...
My ex-husband got a dishonorable discharge.
In 1804, her good friend, Paul Revere...
I'm sorry, what?
Her good friend, Paul Revere.
Who, that's like, she so had... so weird.
Yeah, she had talked to you many a times, and he, like... He honestly, like...
My good friend, Paul Revere.
Yeah, he looked up to her. He thought that she was, like, she was a stunning, you know, an amazing...
asset to the environment and the just, human everything. Race.
And he wrote a letter on behalf of, on her behalf to Representative William Eustace of Massachusetts. And on March 11th of 1805, Congress approved the request and placed Sampson on the Massachusetts Invalid Pension Roll at the rate of $4 a month.
Oh my God. What is she going to do with all that money?
She lived comfortably until her death in 1827.
Which makes her what?
1827 from 1760.
Oh my, that's actually pretty old for that time, right?
Maybe like 67.
I mean, that's
like... That's not bad.
It's almost 70. And today, especially with the bullet lodged in your freaking bone. Right, a bullet lodged
in your leg. And then dang. Her husband lived another 11 years and petitioned Congress to receive pay as a spouse of a soldier. Because, like, that's what he would do.
Yeah.
Right? And in 1837, the committee concluded that the history of the Revolution furnished no other similar example of female heroism, fidelity, and courage. And he was awarded the money, though he died before receiving it.
What?
Yeah.
But was it delivered by a frickin', like, donkey?
Who knows? So, and that is the life and the death of Deborah Sampson. Hey, look at this picture.
She looks cool.
Yeah. So I thought it was pretty awesome because she's a really big badass. And she was like, she didn't let it, like, I don't know, that she performed her own surgery. She got caught once and was like, fuck.
She's like, can you just fix this slight headache I have?
And I'll handle the bullets.
You know what? I don't even have any. This is just a flesh wound.
Yeah.
All the while talking like this.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine, guys. It's fine. Guys, everything's okay.
But not only did she serve in the military, she served as in an elite group
right.
of the military.
The Light Academy.
Yeah, the Light Academy. the Light Infantry. Light Infantry Company.
Yes. That's cool.
So, and I got my information from Drunk History, National Women's History Museum, Encyclopedia Britannica, and, of course, Wiki.
Of course.
Of course.
Good old-fashioned Wikipedia.
And I would say, like, that Drunk History is worth a worth a good look at.
Listen, I'm telling you, I've learned so much from Drunk History.
Yeah. It's I so really good. Have. It really is. I mean, like, it's a nice asset. And I was very excited because they use an actress of her stature, which I was pretty excited about. You're like, okay, good. You got somebody that was at least about her height. But no, so... That's my woman who had to dress like a man to prove herself, which she could have done as a woman because she was a badass, but
they wouldn't have let her.
They wouldn't have let her. So my woman of the month.
Yes.
Actually almost spilled the beans to you.
Oh my gosh.
Because I told her, and like I said, I was like, hey, you want to see my x-rays? And then I sent her a picture of my sonogram instead. And then I was like, don't tell anyone, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, does Jess know? And I was like, no, she doesn't know yet. She's like, she was the first person I was going to like call and talk to about it is my good friend and one of my bridesmaids, Eva.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She was very excited. She was crying. She was crying, crying, crying.
I bet she was.
So, Eva and I have been friends for years. She is like my longest friend. We have been friends since we were kids. She forgave me even after I convinced her that the Midnight Society, if you remember from mm-hmm. Are You Afraid of the Dark,
mm-hmm.
Had asked her to join and got her to sneak out, and then I didn't sneak out with her.
You know that that's going to be a reboot. They're rebooting
it. Oh my God, I didn't know that, and I'm so excited.
Yeah. Does she know that? She probably doesn't know that either.
Oh, Eva.
We should have a viewing party.
We should have a viewing party.
Because that was my shit also.
Oh my God, I love that show so
much.
That
hits, that's a rare show that actually hits me and you.
Yeah, I know.
Because we are on that age gap of which it doesn't hit we're like, us both.
Snick is where we both collide.
There it is.
And... Yeah, I love that show, and I actually like to watch
Stickly. Do you remember Stick Stickly?
I remember Stick Stickly.
The little popsicle stick that hosted... I'm sorry, but you're talking about Eva.
So Eva, Eva is a badass. Like I said, her and I have been friends since we were younger. When we got a little bit older, we kind of... Our lives went separate directions. She got pregnant very young,
mm-hmm.
and I was just out doing my crazy-ass shit. But we stayed... you know, in talking, and we reconnected and we started hanging out again when we both got a little bit older. And she, you know, like she's just a really amazing human being. She is from my hometown area. So she's small town. But she brings a light of understanding and, like that open-mindedness that, you need those seeds in those small communities.
Mm-hmm.
She's openly bisexual. You know, she talks about it often online. She talks about the LGBTQ community online and the fact, you know, like she wants her sons to be raised in a world where they understand that and that, you know, she's raising sons that are emotionally just able to be emotional, like, right. you know, and she also is a firm believer in, religion, in her religion, in Christianity, which her and I don't agree on. But like, if there were more Christians in the world like her, then I don't think I would dislike Christianity as much because right. she believes in it in a way that is like from the eyes of compassion and love and understanding and acceptance.
If Jesus was an actual real life
human being today, right.
He would actually be doing.
Yeah. What he would be doing, what he would be teaching.
Like with the downtrodden and with the immigrants and with the LGBTQ community and with
I absolutely, and that's the thing is like she is the kind of light that small town communities need.
Yes.
And she's that kind of open-mindedness and that kind of like love and stuff. So that is my woman of this month.
She's a great one.
She is great. I love her. She is great. She had made fast friends with everyone in the wedding party and sister-in-law. And like, yeah. So, yeah.
She's amazing.
She is. She's awesome.
Yes.
Okay.
Eva!
Hi, Eva! Oh, and she's been listening to the pod and she's super excited about it. She texts me about it all the time.
Oh my God.
And she's like,
she's so cute.
Oh my God, I love this. This is so good. And
she's always like, the first one to like everything we post.
Oh yeah. She really is. So, and yeah, she'll be excited to know.
Oh my gosh, to see her picture on here. She's going to flip her shit.
She's going to lose her mind. She's going to be so excited. But yeah, and she's excited that now that all the bridesmaids know you guys can talk about it.
I'm gonna act like I'm just never gonna post in there. And they'll be like, oh my God, she's never gonna find out.
She's never gonna tell her. But yeah, so that is my September. Hopefully by the time
September, Batman.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully by the time we talk again, I will be back to being able to use my left arm, hopefully almost fully. And things will start, you know, calming down. We'll be recording at home.
Jeez, no kidding.
Right? So, in the meantime, guys, just smear that lipstick.
Well, that won't be hard for you.